Welcome to Momentum Magnet, a podcast to inspire your growth. I'm Karen Morales, and your host in helping you find ways to make positive changes for your business, health, relationships, and life. We always have a path to a happier ending, so let's get started today. Happy Friday, everyone. Welcome to Momentum Magnet. We're here every week giving you tips and tricks on how to live your best life and get more momentum for your future. Today's episode is all about my favorite topic in the entire world. It's about travel. And I don't know about you, but 2020 was about my least inspiring year for taking a great vacation. I miss traveling more than anything else. And at this point, I would take a TSA pat down by choice if it meant I could get on a plane and go somewhere wonderful. So today, in honor of the holiday spirit, I thought we would spend some time celebrating the fact that potentially our days of quarantine are numbered as the vaccine has arrived and we can start planning for our 2020 travel season. So to do that, I invited one of my favorite travel leaders, Mimi Lichtenstein, who owns Largae Travel and is an expert on destinations for families around the world. So I'm just going to bring Mimi on and we're going to talk about how she helps busy professionals and families really find everything from an extended sabbatical to the perfect holiday destination. Mimi, welcome.
Thank you so much, Karen. Great to be here.
No, it's a perfect way to start an episode when I slaughter your actual job title. So why don't you explain to people where you work? Oh, Turvey Travel. I'm getting totally confused. I don't even know why I'm doing that.
That's okay.
Talk to us about your company name, and let's talk a little bit about how you got into the travel industry.
Absolutely. And I just have to interject. Yesterday, I received an email from someone with a launch of their new interior design company, and the link went to one of their competitors. So I immediately wrote her and told her, and she was like, oh no. So you're one up on that. No worries whatsoever.
Oh my gosh.
It happens to the best of us. I own Truvet Travel. I founded Truvet Travel about a year and a half ago, and I am affiliated with a host agency, which is called Brownell Travel. And they are a big virtuoso agency. When I knew that I wanted to do something different when I came back, actually, I'll back up a little bit. I had taken my kids on sabbatical to Spain a couple years ago. And when I came back, I knew I wanted to do something entrepreneurial. I just wasn't entirely sure what I wanted it to be. So I did kind of a deep dive into what I love to do. And I look back on my life and I spent a big part of my career in finance, but I always love traveling, you know, everywhere. And I love planning travel. And so I found out about an opportunity, and it's kind of typical for a lot of people. You don't really know. There's a lot of opportunities in the world that you don't even know about until they're in front of you. And when I found out that I could start my own travel company and have the leverage and the connections of experts on the ground all over the world through my relationship with Brownell, I was like, I'm in. Let's do it. So I've been doing that ever since.
And it makes such a huge difference. I really want to stop and let people know. I mean, the quality of my vacations since using a virtuoso agent is 150% improved. I mean, I think that there are probably a lot of people that maybe experience having a dedicated corporate agent for booking their business travel when we used to do that, you know, on a weekly basis, but don't necessarily always think of the brilliance of having a travel expert help you plan your personal trips. And I mean, I have found it for juggling a busy life, managing a company and having children that you want to plan for, having somebody with on the ground expertise that can give you those tricks and trips has been invaluable. No matter if you miss a flight, get stuck in a hurricane, or, you know, really want to know the best off the beaten path, which are all things I've relied on an expert for.
Yeah, I would say, I mean, that's definitely one of the reasons that I love what I do. I love doing deep dives into different places. I love finding out about those things that are hard to find out about. And when it comes to my clients, it makes it so much more fun, right? Because whatever your interests are, whatever your kids love to do, the types of places that you've been and the types of places that you want to go, it's about finding those perfect places for you. And it might be the ideal accommodation, or it might be the ideal room within a hotel, you know, because you want to have the view of the ocean, but you want it to be private. There's just an infinite number of variables to a trip. And it would be impossible to find out all this information on your own, going on Google or TripAdvisor, or even, you know, the higher end travel magazines or Hideaway Report. We just have access to a tremendous amount of resources. And it was funny, as I was listening to one of your podcasts the other day, I heard you talk to someone about outsourcing. And this is a perfect example of, I actually am a CPA. I was an accountant when I first got out of college. I could do my taxes. I have zero interest in doing my taxes. And if I did, it might take me 6 hours. So I outsource it to my accountant, who's amazing. Probably takes him a lot less time. And he's a lot better at it with fewer mistakes. Similar concept, right? Just outsource your zone of genius to somebody who has that as a zone of genius.
Yeah. And I think there is also even a space for people who, you know, I plan travel like a sport. I mean, I think it is fun and it's one of my favorite things to do and talk about. Yet I still engage experts because I think that they can often give me a better deal, get me a room upgrade, talk to me about something I wouldn't have already known about, or help me go over an itinerary and give me tips and tricks to make it better. So even if you are someone who doesn't get scared at the idea of planning travel, having someone in your back pocket can still add a tremendous amount of value.
Yeah. And I would say that a lot of advisors who work with people, it is, you know, there's top few reasons to work with someone. When you work with someone like me, we do have relationships with hotels and people all over the world that get you a better value for what your spend is. And one of my favorite examples is one of my clients who went to the Ritz Paris last year. She, for the exact same price that it would have cost her to book the hotel on the Ritz Paris website, when she booked it through me, she had breakfast included every day from, you know, a Michelin type restaurant in her room, actually, with beautiful silver dome trays. She sent me pictures. She had check-in as soon as she arrived, which oftentimes when you're coming from the US to Europe, you arrive at 8 a.m. and you have to pay for a hotel the night before. Whereas the Ritz guarantees our clients that they will be able to check in when they arrive. She had an upgrade when I booked her trip for her, and oftentimes it's not until you arrive if there's availability, but they do it at booking. And I think she also had her favorite bottle of wine, type of wine, was waiting for her when she arrived. But my favorite part was that they go and they meet you as you walk off the jet bridge from your airplane, whisk you through VIP security to an awaiting Mercedes that drives you to the Ritz, and then they bring you back again. And there was no extra cost for any of those things. And they actually double upgraded her. They upgraded her again when she got there. So, I mean, you know, whether it be for a friend or for a client, being able to do that for your clients and friends is so fun.
I mean, I'm in. When I can get back to Paris, you can get me off the jet bridge. That would be amazing. That sounds like a lot of fun. Yeah, no, I think it's been invaluable. I mean, it's been invaluable when I was stuck in a hotel in a hurricane situation. It was invaluable when we had, you know, a last minute health need. It's been invaluable in getting upgrades. So I feel that. So you work with families and professionals across the United States, and all of us have had, you know, an unprecedented year. What is the thing that you're hearing most from your clients on missing travel? Is that a topic that comes up often?
Well, I think yes, for sure. I think that for most people like you, they have a real job where they do real stuff all day. But, you know, a lot of people, their next thing that they love to think or talk about is travel, right? For many of us, it's our hobby, whether it be just researching or it's something that we look forward to, spending time with our family or our extended family or getting together with our college friends or celebrating a big anniversary or birthday. I mean, all of that, a lot of that has been missing for the last year. So I think for my clients, some of them have been booking things over the last several months in anticipation that 2021 will be a better year. You can't see me, but my fingers are crossed. And I think that everyone is eager to get back out there, but people want to be responsible and they want to be safe. So, you know, there are people who are traveling right now, but it's not for everybody. And I think that my hope is, you know, as we move into 2021, things will improve little by little as the vaccine rolls out and people feel more comfortable traveling.
Yeah, that's great. So when we think about where we are in 2020 and what the future looks like for 2021, we're all aware, right, that a lot of, you know, hotel chains and airlines have taken a really tough economic hit in the last year. And probably as we march into the future, you know, some of these places that we've been and loved may not be around anymore. So how does the forecast look for the hospitality industry, or at least in what you're hearing?
Yeah, I think it's tough. And what I think about is, you know, there are big airlines and big hotel chains, but all of those people employ, all those companies employ people, right? These are individuals with families and children and spouses to support. And so, honestly, my heart breaks for so many through all of this. You know, obviously that's huge across the United States, but then when you go into these smaller places, you know, in South America, in Africa, or in places like Bora Bora or the Seychelles, where all they have is tourism, you know, these people are struggling to be able to support their families. So I think a lot of them have, you know, everyone's gotten more frugal probably over the last year. There's been quite a few of our partners across the world who have kept their people employed. You know, there have been people who have been transitioning to virtual events, people who have been, you know, taking the time to sort of regroup, do renovations if you're a hotel, or come up with new systems and, you know, other ideas. And I think that the future looks brighter, but there's a lot of people who have taken a couple of pivots, right, to be able to make money to put food on the table for their families.
Yeah, that's really interesting. And I think sometimes, you know, we have maybe a misconception, right, that when an industry is hurting, that will mean the deals will be rampant. So I think that is something to pause and to really think about, you know, as we think about travel and booking for 2021, that, you know, perhaps everything's not going to be a fire sale because these companies are trying to keep their folks employed and enable families to have food on the table. So you cannot expect that, you know, you're going to get your safari for 60% off.
Yeah, I mean, I would say it's a balance, right? Because there are things out there that you do see like that, absolutely. And obviously, people have become more flexible with their terms, anything from the airlines now even allowing changes on international flights. But I do think that it's incumbent upon us as people, if you can afford to travel, you know, I went to Mexico last month. Try to be more generous than you usually are, right? To either the driver or the, you know, the server, and spend your money, you know, like if you can and you have it to spend, then go out there and put it into the economy to help other people. And that could be in your small town, you know, getting takeout, or it could be if you go to Mexico or elsewhere, just trying to inject more money into their economy, because it's not right. It's not a zero sum game, right? It's not all about me saving money or, you know, just being super looking for a good deal. It's about people's livelihoods, and they need people, travelers, to come back so that they can bounce back too.
So where are the open countries right now for Americans to go? I know Mexico's open, Costa Rica, quite a few nations in the Caribbean, Croatia. What am I missing?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, I did not look this morning. I feel like if I say something today and someone listens in 3 days, it'll probably be different. But, you know, I agree with what you just said. Hawaii is obviously in the United States, but, you know, they're open right now. Alaska next summer, I think, is a great destination. Going out west next summer is a great option. I think Mexico is easy because they don't require any sort of a COVID test. So it makes it super easy because even like with within the U.S., if you go to Hawaii right now, you do need to have a negative COVID test in order to get there, and Costa Rica as well. But I mentioned before that if my kids were not in in-person school right now, we would be in Costa Rica or Mexico or Hawaii living there, because I live in New Hampshire and we got 2 feet of snow yesterday and I'm already ready for it to be nice and warm and sunny. So yeah, I think as the year goes on, 2021 goes on, more things will open up. When you look at Europe for next summer, in the beginning, in the spring, that's a little uncertain, but people are even going to Africa right now. I'm considering going on a safari this winter, actually. I've never been to Kenya and I want to go there. But there are people who are traveling if they're comfortable doing so, and they're following all the protocols and trying to do it as responsibly as they can. And my heart goes out to all these governments who are having to balance, right? Do we bring people into the Maldives where we might not have any COVID right now because we need to have tourism for a source of revenue? Or do we just stay huddled up and keep ourselves secure and, you know, insulated and safe from the outside world? So it's tough. But there are options if people want to travel, and there certainly will be more and more as you look ahead into 2021.
So if we are looking into 2021 and people are thinking that they're going to get through the calendar year, maybe the traditional academic schedule, if you have, you know, children in school or half school or part school or whatever we want to define school as these days, in the summer of 2021, domestic United States travel will be open, we are assuming. We're assuming that you can still go to Central America potentially. What about South America, Australia, New Zealand, Europe? What are you giving as guidelines to clients?
I have a client who's supposed to be going to Bora Bora, New Zealand, like next week, and obviously that was canceled. New Zealand and Australia they've talked about opening up a bubble between them, but I think it's going to be a while till they open up into the rest of the world. So I would not count on that. And normally you wouldn't want to go there in our summertime anyway, but my fingers are crossed that December 2021, it'll be an option, but I don't think it's a guarantee. When I look ahead to summer, I'm personally looking at a trip for my family to go to Alaska. I think that Hawaii will be an option out west. There's so many, you know, glamping has become like, you know, it's like shooting, the demand for it is shooting up. There's so many beautiful outdoor places to go visit, and hiking and biking and, you know, outdoor adventures to be had. So I would say that's on the list. I would hope that Iceland opens up by this summer. I think for family destinations, that's a great one to go do quite a bit of adventure and activity. Europe hopefully will open up at some point, but that one's uncertain. South America, Argentina had no flights for the longest time I have looked. I do have clients who are supposed to be going to Argentina next week as well, which we obviously canceled. I don't even think that they've opened up international borders yet. Like, they literally just shut down all international flights. Peru, I think, is back open. And again, you know, depending upon what time of year, I wouldn't necessarily go there in our summertime, but there will be more and more places. But if somebody wants to, if I were somebody who didn't do what I do for a living, I would just really think about what is it that I want to do? Like, what is on my bucket list? And, you know, maybe don't put off those things for, you know, 5 more years, because we've all learned that you never know what's going to happen. Look at what those places are you want to go see, and, you know, see what's available, see what works for summertime travel, and then pick another one and plan that for December and start mapping out your future travels year by year to see when you can fit it all in. Since we've all had to do, you know, essentially a 1+ year pause, we all have a long list.
This is the perfect segue, because I'd like to spend the rest of the episode diving deep and giving people fodder for, you know, Googling for the rest of the day. So let's talk about those top places people need to visit. And let's start first with maybe the United States. What are some of your absolute do not miss places, destinations, or trips that you think every person or family should experience domestically first?
Okay. Well, first of all, my answer is always it depends because everyone is so different.
That's true. We don't know what you're into, but we're gonna generalize here a little bit. We're gonna cover the gamut.
So if we're gonna talk about, should we go with the idea of a family? How about an adventurous, active family?
Sure. Let's do it.
I work with a lot of those. I'm one of those. You might be one of those. So I think Alaska is on my list for a reason. It has, you know, when I plan family trips, I typically have, I think it's a list of 6 different things that I tend to include on itineraries when I can. And that includes wildlife, water, ice cream, hands-on activities, and unconventional transportation and unconventional accommodations. And so Alaska, you can hit on, you know, so many of those things. You can go fishing, you can go see the grizzly bears eating the salmon, you can go kayaking, you can see glaciers, you could ride on a helicopter, you could be on a boat, you can be in a kayak. There's so many cool places to stay there. Beautiful, beautiful lodges with, you know, luxurious service and amazing food and just a really cool access to cool places all over. So I would definitely put that one on my list.
That's really interesting because I want to pause there. I've been to Alaska with my kids. We did a cruise, but I think what you're mentioning right now is there are other ways to do Alaska that don't necessarily require you doing a cruise.
100%. So my husband is definitely not a cruise person and I'm an expedition cruise person. So I would go on a small cruise. But right now, I think even if I did go on a small cruise, I would also go into the inside of Alaska because you're not going to see everything from the coast. You will see lots of cool stuff, but I want to see other stuff, you know, go to Denali or other places, go for, you know, epic hikes and all of that. So you can go, I mean, there's a place if you're going with just couples. So let me deviate from my other one, Sheldon Chalet. That would be a super fun one to go see. I might've sent you a picture of that one. I think there's a place called Still Point Lodge, Tordrillo Lodge. There's just so many amazing ones. And you go, you know, deep sea fishing, you can go fly fishing, you can be mountain biking, you can have e-bikes. So if your family has varying abilities and you have younger kids, you can get them e-bikes and you guys cannot do e-bikes, you know, and the hiking is epic and you can go to glaciers and you can have, you know, picnics and magical places. Like it's just, for me, a feast for the senses. So yes.
I know my heartbreaking miss from Alaska was we had a heat wave 4th of July week. It was 83 degrees in the Inner Passage, which is insane. And we actually had our adventure canceled. We were supposed to helicopter onto an iceberg and go dog sledding with Iditarod dogs, but it was too warm for the dogs and they were having ice creaking and melting, and then the dogs were overheating. And the idea of walking on a glacier and hearing ice creaking was a little bit much for me. Like I did not really want to experience a crevasse at all. So I was not that sad in retrospect that our later, you know, time of the day got canceled, but that had been on my bucket list. It seemed so cool.
I know. I mean, sometimes that happens, right? Best laid plans. Like you can't predict everything, right? Who can predict there's going to be a heat wave the year you go to Alaska? So you got to be willing to be flexible, right? And that's what we all have to remember. Let's think of some other ones. So I think Enchantment Resort out in Arizona is amazing for families. They have a new adventure center where you can go mountain biking and hiking. And I think one of their staff actually, who is a Native American, he helped build a lot of the mountain biking trails around there. And he's one of the guides that takes people out. So that to me would be a great destination. You know, going out to Zion, you know, the Grand Canyon, all the national parks, super high on the list. And there are so many different glamping options right now and beautiful lodges that you can stay at. And we have partners who will actually can set up your own private glamping facilities on private lands or on the rim of the Grand Canyon to get unbelievable access to these places where normally you might not have access to because it takes so long to get there. They get you there and then you stay there for a few days. Rafting down the Grand Canyon, that's been on my bucket list with my kids for a long time to go on week-long trip down the Grand Canyon. I mean, to me, that seems absolutely magical. Let's think of some other ones.
I really want to do Montana and Yellowstone. So that talk to me about that and potentially adding in a dude ranch.
Yeah, so there are a lot of beautiful ones out there. I think a lot of people go that I work with go to Paws Up, Ranch at Rock Creek, Brush Creek. The great thing about the lodges are they're stunning. There's so many beautiful ones. The key is knowing which one's the right one for you, because some of them are great for families. Some are great for adults. Some are great for foodies. Some have a very sort of retro Western feel to them. Other ones have a very contemporary upscale feel to them. So, you know, do you want to go on a real cattle drive? Do you want to have the same horse every day? Like, there's so many variables that go into it, but all of them would give you an amazing experience. Ted Turner has lodges out there that are spectacular. There's just, you combine amazing food, beautiful accommodations, and stunning scenery. For me, that's perfect for families.
Do all of the dude ranches require you to stay a whole week? Like, I was always thinking that that feels like a big commitment. I would love to, dip my toes in a little bit more gently.
Yes. So no, some of them absolutely do. That's definitely one of the variables, but not all of them do. And the nice thing about working with someone like me is that if a hotel or a lodge has a minimum night stay, we can always ask if they would be willing to waive that for our clients. If it's high season, if it's Christmas time somewhere, that might not happen, but we can always ask the question, because otherwise it does. The first time I went to a ranch with my family, I thought the same thing as you. And we actually did a combination of Jackson Hole, and then we did a ranch. So we stayed at one that at the time was less than 7 days. And I had the exact same thoughts as you. I don't know, I want to do this every day for 7 days. But there are some of these places where you could stay every day. You might not ride every day, or some members of your family might. My kids absolutely loved. We went bareback riding on horses through a stream, and the horses would swim. So you were on the backs of a horse as they were swimming across a river. It was so cool. It felt so light. It was just very disorienting, but it was so fun. They absolutely loved it.
And I saw that on your website, and I showed it to my 9-year-old daughter, and she was basically telling me, I don't care what we do for the rest of the year, but I want to do that. That, you know, mommy. That.
There are a lot of girls that love horses. I do have a client who has a daughter who rides. She has her own horses. And so I'm always looking for cool, unique horse experiences around the world. Now I've got a list of about 10 of them that are super special. So if your daughter likes horses, we'll have to talk about that.
Certainly. Those are amazing, amazing recommendations. And how about people that are thinking they're ready to open up their horizons? What are a few other the worldly destinations that you say are not to be missed?
Oh, I mean, we could talk for hours. I think that, again, it depends, right? Where you've been, if you like going new places. You know, if you've never been on a safari, of course, that's typically on people's bucket lists. You could go to Tanzania, you could go to Kenya, you could go to South Africa, you could go to Rwanda with the gorillas. So
you have an opinion on kind of the best all-purpose destination for a safari. I mean, that is my number one. That is one thing I have never done. I've never been to the African continent. That is the thing that I want to do more than anything else. But it's a hard balance to decide, do I go to South Africa? Do I go to Kenya and Tanzania? Do we go to one of the smaller countries? I have a feeling you're going to say it depends, but...
Well, if you and I had like an hour long conversation, yeah, I could be more specific. But barring that, I would tend to steer families towards East Africa, towards Tanzania or Kenya, mostly because sort of the culture, the Maasai culture there is super interesting and very colorful. In South Africa, you'd probably end up also going to Cape Town. You know, there's amazing vineyards and there's amazing restaurants, and the culture of all of that is great for adults. So if I were knowing the little, you know, I know about you so far, I would say check out Tanzania and Kenya first. But then it just, again, it does depend. What do your kids love to do? And, you know, we figure out a way to make that happen. Victoria Falls has this experience called a micro flight. Have you heard of that?
No.
Okay, you can Google that, microflight at Victoria Falls. You're essentially up in like a hang glider bicycle type thing, flying around near Victoria Falls. Now, when my kids see that, they're like, yes, I want to do that. Anyway, so it really depends. If they want to do that, yes. If they're super adventurous, if not, then no. A lot of teenagers, a lot of people who are very focused on Instagram love Giraffe Manor. It's in Nairobi in Kenya, where you're sitting there and the little giraffes are coming over your head eating your breakfast.
I'm still picturing me and my children on a flying bike over Victoria Falls. I've been to Iguazu Falls on the Brazilian border. And so I know, I mean, it's different, but I can picture like these huge falls. It was thrilling enough to be in a boat getting close. So yeah. I can only imagine hanging over them. I did paragliding off the Alps when I was in my 20s, which feels like another world. I thought that was terrifying because the guy named Peaches just started running off the hill on Interlaken with like no warning. He just like,
so I did that. Like, I think it was in Peru, either Peru or Chile, but I did that too in my 20s. A little crazy.
Yeah, a little crazy. Now I'm getting a little more. I was scared enough on our zip line in Hawaii last summer. So,
okay. But zip line. So, another two things for adventurous families. Canyoning, which we've done multiple times in various places in Spain and the Dominican Republic, where essentially you are, you know, sometimes jumping off of waterfalls, sometimes rappelling down, sometimes climbing up. That is super fun for families. My kids love it. And another one is Via Ferratas. Have you ever heard of a Via Ferrata?
No, I canyoned in Interlaken on that same trip in my 20s, but I haven't done it with kids. But I don't know what this new thing is.
So Via Ferrata is amazing for people like us who essentially you could do it for an afternoon somewhere. We did it outside of Madrid, I think for about 3 hours one day. You are carabinered in. You have to be old enough to be responsible enough to be your own carabiner fastener. But I'll send you a picture of my daughter doing it. You essentially, Via Ferrata, I think means like Iron Way. And I'm not going to get this exactly right, but essentially there were a lot of paths that were created during former wars in Europe, where there were bars that people used to scale mountains to be able to access things more quickly or in a way that was not predictable. And they turned those into outdoor adventures that you can go on. And so it might be essentially climbing up this iron ladder. It could be going across very narrow bridges. And then you are for 3 hours doing this, carabining one place, unfastening another, moving it ahead, and then just you keep going. My friends actually in Spain did it in Switzerland for a week. We were hundreds of feet in the air. They were thousands of feet in the air. They did it for a week with a guide camping out. You know, so again, for adventurous families, it's super fun. If you want to do something slightly less adventurous, hut-to-hut hiking in Switzerland, Mont Blanc Trail, you can do it in Peru, you can do it in South America. That's super fun because you're constantly moving. And I find with kids that, you know, the adventure of going from one place to another by bike or by hiking is a super fun one. So I'd put that on the top of the list. Iceland, they have, you know, you can go scuba diving in frigid waters with one of those suits on, you know, that allows you to scuba dive in frigid waters and see beautiful scenery and, you know, go on all sorts of adventures there. Let me think of some other ones that are on the list. Croatia has over 1,000 islands. One of my absolute favorite trips for my family and for planning for other people is chartering catamarans mostly or yachts. And the reason I like it's similar to hut hiking. You wake up in one place, you hang out for a while, then you go to another place, you see something new, then you go to another place. The variety that you get of activities and scenery is, you know, it's vast. And you can charter a catamaran off the coast of Croatia. There's 1,000 islands. If you're staying on an island or you're staying on mainland Croatia, you're never going to get to some of these remote, stunningly beautiful places. But if you're chartering a catamaran, you are. So you get the benefit of having your own place, you know, not having to pack and unpack, but being able to see so much, go experience go harvest oysters and have champagne, you know, out in the water with the oysters that you just harvested. You can go to do yoga on a beach somewhere. You can do all sorts of cool things. They have great music. They have great concert places. They have great independent bookstores and cafes. Lots of great stuff in Croatia. But then again, I also love Italy and all the, you know, regular European places.
I did have a question from someone in preparation for this episode. They wanted to know, where is one of the best castles to stay in for families in the British Isles?
Oh, well, okay. So I could definitely answer that question, but not off the top of my head. Castle in British Isles for families. So I sent you this morning, which you just saw briefly, I think, that one map. I keep very detailed maps on destinations throughout the world that my clients go to or that I want to go to. And I think my map for UK has well over 1,000 places, you know, the coolest accommodations, the, you know, tree houses to stay in, the castles to stay in. So I will look it up and get back to you. And hopefully you know that person and you can send her the information.
Yeah, that's great. So, that is the benefit of working with someone, right? You can have a question like, what is the best castle? And then you will follow up with questions like, do you want it to be original looking? Do you want it to be modern in the inside? Does it need to have a pool? Like, are you eating, you know, Michelin star food? Or are you eating classic, I don't know, manor fare? I would assume those are the types of things you could guide people on, which is really amazing.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, England has so many unique accommodations. So it's a great place to go with families. There's a lot of cool places to stay. There's a lighthouse or a restaurant somewhere in the Northern United Kingdom where no matter what time you arrive, you like knock on the door and someone will make you something to eat. And when I read that, I was like, oh, that's so fun. I read it in probably a travel magazine. And the guy said, I decided to test it out. And I showed up at, you know, X hour of the day. And lo and behold, they made me something to eat.
That is really cool. I love that. And I mean, those are some of the things that we remember, right? I mean, when I was in Thailand years ago, and there had been a restaurant I read about in the New York Times that said was the best restaurant in Bangkok. And it had no name and it was off streets. And I mean, I dragged my husband at the time and I all over Bangkok to find this restaurant that didn't have a menu, that didn't speak English. And it was an incredible meal. We had no idea what we were eating.
Yeah.
Because they just brought you food.
Yeah.
And it was just such a neat experience.
Such a neat experience. I took my kids to Thailand, I think maybe 3 or 4 years ago, and they absolutely loved it. I mean, Thailand is like a feast for the senses for adults, right? So for kids, even more so. The street food that you eat, one of our favorite fruits is passion fruit. And we went up north by Chiang Mai and we did a trek up to the elephants. Where we gave them a mud bath, by the way, in the mud with them and then rinsed them off in the river. And this was an ethical elephant camp. There's no rioting or anything. It's just a matter of getting
Elephant Nature Conservatory or Elephant Nature.
I would have to go back and check. I can't remember, but it's a good one.
Incredible.
We happened to be hiking to this elephant place and we passed through what was a passion fruit farm. And our guide was like, do you want to try one? I said, what is it? And he told us, I'm like, absolutely. That's our favorite thing. So we went to, did you go to the train market when you were in Bangkok? Okay. That was cool, right? Just to see what happens when the train comes by, everything gets put away and the floating markets in Bangkok. And we actually, that was the first time we chartered a catamaran and we went island hopping off of Phuket for a week at the end of that trip. And that was cool because you take the kayak off the boat. You go somewhere different every day, went to James Bond Island and all sorts of other places. One time we took kayaks and we went through, you know, a hole in the side of an island that was like this big. And it takes you into the middle of the island through like this secret tunnel. And then you get in there and it's wide open to the sky with like beautiful foliage and everything. But you don't know it's there if you didn't go through this little tunnel, which obviously our captain told us about. So there's just, I mean, Thailand is an awesome place to take kids, I think.
I agree. And it was One of the places that I've been where, you know, I have a little bit of a sensitive stomach. So as traveling around the world, I'm one of those people who tends to have, you know, issues. And I ate a ton of street food in Thailand. I ate things that I didn't even know what it was. And I never had one issue.
The food there is so good. And it's great for picky eaters, right? Because they eat noodles or rice and delicious smoothies everywhere. It just was awesome. And actually, that was the first place I think we went to go see a 4D movie in Bangkok. There was a 4D movie theater that I took my kids to. And it was crazy because in the basement of this, it was in a mall. And in the basement, I think it had Krispy Kreme donuts and it had like Potbellies sandwiches. Like it had all these like famous American brands in the basement. We were like, well, how did this get here? You know? We saw actually, I think it was whatever one of those Star Wars movies was. So it was, I mean, just cool experiences. We live in a small town in New Hampshire. So for my kids to go to a big city like that and experience things like that is like overwhelmingly fun.
I agree. It's those moments and those magical experiences that, I don't know, for us got us really through this last year being in our houses with each other. We spent a lot of time talking about fun things we had done the year before and what we'd want to do in the future. And, you know, folk try to be okay that we were taking a pause for a long time this calendar year. So for all those people out here who are saying like, I'm not at all interested in hearing about any of these family trips, give me an adult vacation, give me a romantic journey, give me a second honeymoon. I want to get out and have some, you know, sexy time with a person that I love. Where would you recommend going for all of those folks that need to, you know, bring back their romantic vibes?
Yeah, well, if you want to talk, let's talk a little local first. Twin Farms, which is in Vermont, I went to last year. It's stunning. It's beautiful. You know, four seasons a year, it's beautiful. It's not adults only, but it tends to have adults only just based on the price. I think that that would be a great destination. If you're going to the Caribbean, Jade Mountain is particularly beautiful. You know, there's so many beautiful places that dot the Caribbean. But if you wanted to, you know, Sheldon Chalet that I mentioned earlier, that's definitely on my bucket list. And some of these places price at the level that even if they allowed kids, they don't tend to get kids. I think that if you go, you know, the overwater bungalows, wherever you are, whether it be in the Maldives or Bora Bora, that those are super romantic to go to. And obviously the whole point of that is sort of like privacy and seclusion and luxury and service and, you know, just sort of enjoying each other. I think, you know, any of those places, Rosewood, we were just at Rosewood in Mayakoba and it's actually great for families and great for adults. They have a separate family beach club from the adult beach club. So you absolutely can go there and have a romantic time and you can actually get there, you know, in the next few months if you want to. And I think too, if you go on safari, staying at a place that has a star bed where you can be outside under the stars with nothing above you and you hear the animals at nighttime roaming around while you're out there, that would be super amazing.
Okay, talk to me more about this star bed. I'm picturing myself flying out there and hearing like a cheetah. Like how does that, you're not getting attacked by a wild animal?
You're up high. And the stairs are blocked off, so nobody's going to come up after you, right?
Okay, that makes more sense. I'm just picturing like a bed on the, you know, floor of the Serengeti, and I'm picturing not ending well.
No, it's up high, and some camps have it in your room, so sort of attached to the resort, and other ones have it actually kind of at a distance. So they go and they drop you off and then they leave you there. You have a walkie-talkie or way to communicate just in case something goes wrong, but you are off in nature, you know, far from the camp, just you and your partner for the night, you know, to be under these gorgeous stars. I mean, just
how fun is that? On my honeymoon, we stayed in Tahiti and we were in an overwater bungalow. And the first night we were there, we actually thought somebody was swimming under the bungalow. like trying to get in because it was the fish were jumping so much and it was so loud that it sounded as if we had an intruder, but no, they were.
I also went to Tahiti in an overwater bungalow for my honeymoon. So I hear you on that one. I have a couple other ones.
Okay.
Montage, which is one of the hotel brands that I really love. They just opened one up in Healdsburg in Wine Country. So I think Wine Country is obviously a perfect place to go as a couple because that tends to not attract people with families. And then in Italy, Relay San Sanino is something I've never been to it, but some of my colleagues have. And I remember one of them saying, just thinking about a stay here makes me sigh. Like it just was such an amazing experience that they can't wait to go back again. So there's a lot of beautiful, you know, farmhouses in Italy where you can go and have, you know, romantic experiences. And so I think Italy to me just sort of oozes romance if you're there with your spouse your partner without your kids. And I think that's a popular one. And if you look, you know, out west, going out to Amangiri in Utah, and they have an Amangani too. Those are two, you know, very popular, very luxurious, high service levels, beautiful outdoor places to go with your partner. So.
Beautiful. So if people are, you know, getting as excited about planning their future travels as I am, and maybe they have a list, we have a bucket list as a family, we have a goal to see all the states and to go to all the continents, and we have a list, a prioritized list of who gets to make the call, what year, of where we're going to go, and they want to work with a travel advisor, levels, or does it have to be like the highest of high end Ritz Paris level to be able to get value out of working with an advisor? Or is it a little bit, you know, more common that people can be a little bit more flexible with their budget ranges and getting an expert to help?
Absolutely. So I think, you know, there are a wide range of advisors, just like there are interior designers and accountants and lawyers and all that, right? So you just have to find one that's a good fit for you. I think that when people look, what I like to say to people who often, like me, someone says, okay, I want to go to Italy. And I say, okay, we ask all the questions. And one of them is, well, what's your budget? Well, I don't know. How much is it going to cost me to go to Italy? And the answer is, well, I could plan you a $5,000 trip to Italy, or I could plan you a $50,000 trip to Italy, or a $100,000 trip to Italy. It's all a matter of what you want. And the levers that really matter, obviously, the number of days you're going to be gone. And if you're going in the highest of seasons, that has a big factor on the price. But then also, what level of accommodation do you want? You know, do you want to stay at the 5-star, almost, you know, 6-star type places? Or do you want to stay at more boutique, luxurious places that aren't quite as expensive? And then within those, do you want a regular room or do you want a fabulous suite? So there's, you know, levers that you can pull to make things more expensive and less expensive. Then after accommodations, I would look at transportation. You can be someone who's willing to hop in a cab wherever you go, right? Or you might be somebody who wants to have a car transfer pick you up. So that plays a big role in it. And then the last big one is experiences. Do you want nothing booked every single day, so you just figure it all out on your own? Or would you like to have somebody take you on a half day walking tapas tour to go taste all the different delicious foods, you know, when you're in Sevilla? Or do you want to have a private guide take you, get early access to a particular excursion or, you know, somewhere sort of that's not in, that you don't really find in Google, where you want to go have tea in the afternoon with some Spanish royalty at their vineyard. So there's such a wide range that people will find somebody who can help them, my guess is, almost at any range of that budget. And it's just a matter of finding the right person, because it's not all about 5-star luxury. My clients are not formal luxury people. They're more experiential luxury, service luxury. They want to go somewhere and they want it to be nice, but they really care about, like, what are the cool, fun things we're going to do while we're here? And, you know, give me some options as to what those kind of things are. And maybe they want to have a private behind the scenes, behind the glass tour of the Churchill War Rooms. if you don't want that, then you can just go to the British Museum on your own and that, you know, have a lovely day. So it really just depends upon what somebody's looking for.
That's perfect. And another last question that I had from the audience was, what is your method for booking homes? If, you know, there are some people that are thinking about, yeah, I'm going to travel next year, but I don't really want to be in a hotel. I'd rather be in a home. What is your tips for finding and sourcing vacation rentals?
Yeah, so that's a good question. You know, I have a lot of clients and myself who have used Airbnb type places before. And what you have to pay attention to when you're doing something like that is, you know, it's not vetted. So by nature, I don't just say to someone, oh, here's an Airbnb I can rent you, because I don't have anybody who's vouched for that. I have no clue if the pictures are correct. I have no clue if they're going to live up to their end of the bargain and that sort of thing. So I would say just try and be very, you know, thorough about vetting them on your own. The challenge is, I almost had a new client the other day because his Airbnb had canceled on him 2 weeks before his trip. I guess they're allowed to do that. I think you can kind of get dinged for it on your reviews, but he over Christmas now has had to go last minute scramble to find a new place. So I would say just enter that with caution. But there's so many great ones out there. So if you really want to do that, do that. For me personally, we represent a lot of places all over the world my partners work with that are villas, that are igloos, that are tree houses, that are castles that can be private or, you know, shared accommodations. And there's homes everywhere. I would say more and more people are interested in staying in homes. And since COVID happened, we've had more and more partners around the world who have taken those on into their inventory to be able to say, you know, we have this and can give you access to this if this is something that your clients want. So depending upon where they're going, they're available everywhere. I mean, it could be a hacienda in Mexico. It could be a estancia in Argentina, or it could be a farm in Tuscany, but they're available everywhere.
That's great. Yeah. So for those folks that are listening and they said, oh my gosh, Truvet Travel, Mimi, I need you. I want you to book my trip for 2021. How do they get in touch with you?
Well, I think the easiest way is they could go to my website, which is truvettravel.com. It's fairly easy to find me. I am also on LinkedIn. I'm on Facebook. I'm occasionally on Instagram. I'm trying to get my teenagers to help me out there a little bit. And I have a Truvet Travel YouTube site that I've been uploading several videos to about different trips. I just did a little video for a client who wants to take her family to Peru. And so I curated a few photos of certain places that I knew that they would love and things that I knew they'd want to do. So I put that video up on my YouTube channel. And just this morning, I put one up about that Seabob video that I had sent you, which is essentially taking a motorized, I don't even know what it is, like a little submarine thing and holding onto it. And you can kind of dive under the water and up and down. And this one happened to be near a pod of dolphins. So just imagine what your teenager would like doing that. So anyway, you can check out my YouTube channel. I'm going to try and keep posting things there. When I go on site visits of hotels, I think my latest trip to Mayacoba in Mexico is on there. So that's the easiest way.
That's perfect. And maybe I will, you know, share with people as we plan my next trip, because I really do want to do this Western United States National Park / Dude Ranch thing next summer.
You know, it's such a great family. There's just such variety. You don't all have to do the same things. You know, some people like cruises because they can all do their own thing and come together at dinner. The same thing holds true for going out west. There's so much variety of things to do: skeet shooting, cattle drives, horseback riding, river rafting, fishing, you know, lounging, reading a book. Like, it's the variety of things to do at those lodges is immense.
Beautiful. Well, yeah. Thank you so much for joining us, for putting a little pep. You are my last meeting before a 2 week homestay vacation, which is the first time I've ever said a home-based vacation in I don't know how long, but maybe I'm going to get, you know, a little head on my planning for 2021, which will be fun. So thank you, Mimi, for joining us. You should check her out at Truvay Travel, T-R-U-V-A-Y, travel.com. And thank you, everyone, for joining us for Momentum Magnet. We're here every Friday giving you tips and tips to put more momentum back in your life. This has been a hard year in 2020, but we've made it to the end zone and better futures awaits. So we will talk to you next week, and thank you so much for joining us. In the meantime, make sure you comment, like our podcasts on iTunes and iHeartRadio so that we know what is resonating. Thank you and have a great day.
Thank you for listening to Momentum Magnet. We're here every Friday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time to share inspiring comeback stories. We want to hear your reviews and love getting your subscriptions on iTunes and Spotify. For show notes and past episodes, visit MomentumMagnet.com. I'm Karen Morales, keynote speaker, writer, and founder and CEO of Marketing Magnet, a fast-growing marketing agency for purpose-driven companies. Whether you are a business needing an agency or if you are looking for weekly tips to get ahead, sign up at marketing-magnet.com to receive our weekly inspiration on getting more in your life and business.